Well, while we're receiving the offering today, I want to just take a moment to introduce our dear friend, brother, Pastor Abraham, who's going to be ministering to us. For those of you that are guests at New Life, we're super happy to have you. This is a treat that we get to have almost each summer when Pastor Abraham is visiting the States, to have him come and share the Word of God with us, to give us an update, to connect us with what is happening in their ministry in the great nation of India. And you're going to hear testimonies of what's happening in Christ for India, also known as the New India Church of God. We had the joy last November of being over there and being way out in the wilderness of India. And all you're driving on in roads through sticks. You don't know if you're going to see elephants. You don't know what you're going to see. And all of a sudden you come into a place where there's a couple thousand of people worshiping that have found Jesus out in the middle. I want to say nowhere, but it's somewhere. It's amazing. But Pastor Abraham has a great ministry in Delhi, but he has been overseeing a ministry where there's now over 4,000 churches in their network all over India, especially in the northern parts. And I gotta tell you guys, Pastor Abraham goes to places that give even Indians culture shock in India. Because I've been out to some of the villages with the city pastors, and they're like, I don't know about this place. This is where he's been going for 40 years. I've never been to a place in India where somebody didn't walk up and know Pastor Abraham. And it's just, it's a sincere honor and joy and privilege to be partnered with you guys, and to have friendship with you, and to have you speaking into our family. We're connected with you. We love you. And for those of you that have heard Pastor Abraham before, well, you know it's such a treat. For those of you that are with us, you're new at New Life, I'm really, really glad that you get to now be connected with Pastor Abraham, the ministry going on in India. And I want you all to just do something with me. I want you to stand up on your feet and give him a huge, big, warm welcome, New Life welcome today.
Hallelujah. Are you happy? Praise the Lord for those seven people. Are you happy in God's house today? Amen. Try it one more time. It's not enough. Are you happy in God's presence today? Amen. Wake yourself up. Because you're going to hear a lousy sermon, you might go to sleep halfway. Amen? What a joy and a privilege it is for me to be in this church. I've been coming for years and years and years. I used to be young when I came first. But to be a part of this ministry, getting to know Caleb and Rachel also for a long time, and seeing God's anointing upon his life and the Lord, what the Lord is doing through them. And I thank God for them. And we enjoy having Pastor Caleb in India. And I enjoy taking him to the boonies. Keep him in surprise. He's just thinking, Pastor Abraham said there's a meeting. Where is the meeting? There's nobody here. You know? And suddenly, as, 2,000-3,000 people there to hear the Word of God. And we enjoy him. Our people enjoy him. Our pastors enjoy him. And he's a great preacher. Would you agree with me? Yes. Hallelujah. And we'd love to have him, and we'd love to have all of you coming. We should charter a plane, and all of us just come in there and have a good time. What do you think? You're not very sure about that, are you? Well, folks, that God has been so good to us, and the work continues to grow. We have grown beyond 4,000 churches. And as your pastor Caleb said, I have completed 40 years of my ministry. You know, that's not bad for a 35-year-old guy, don't you think? And so I remember starting off when I was, 21 years old. That's when I started the ministry right on the streets. Didn't have a clue what I was supposed to do. Didn't have anybody to invite me. I didn't know how to preach. I had a decent job, and God called me and messed it all up. Amen? Has He done that for you too sometimes? Yeah. So if you hear God's call, well, your life is all in for big mess. But at the end, it's great. Amen? And God just was leading me, and God's hand was there. Lived on the streets in those days, you know, slept in front of the shops, walked about 15, 20 miles every day. And not that I liked walking, I didn't have the few pennies to pay for my bus fare in those days, you know. Went without food, 3-4 days, starving, you know. I was not fasting. Do you know the difference between fasting and starving? Fasting means you got your fridge and freezer jam-packed with food, but you decided not to eat. That's fasting. Starving means you're dying. You're ready to eat anything, but there's nothing there for you. And that's starving. You know, that's how it has to be. And I remember the time that I thought that God really made a mistake of calling me. Why on earth did He call me? I'm not doing anything much. I'm no good for anything. And here I am, you know, wandering around, sitting in front of the shop, not eating for 3 days. God, You could have been better off if I had my job, so that I would not have been broken and you wouldn't be broken too, you know. We both of us would have had some money. But now we both are broke, because here we are. So that's how it just started off. But God's hand was there. God had a plan. And I remember praying to the Lord, and I said, God, I would like to start 1,000 churches in India, and You can take me home. I just thought it'll never happen, right? 1,000 churches is a lot of churches. So I thought my life is pretty safe. So, but in 2004, on the 15th of January, I started the 1,000th church. I thought, oops! It happened! And I'm not even too old. God, I'm not coming home. You know? So, God didn't care. So, I set up my next goal. By 2010, I wanted to have 2,000 churches. But it did not take that long. By the time 2008 came, we crossed 2,000 churches mark. Amen? So here I am, and we have crossed 4,000 churches now, and growing all the time. Amen? And God is a good God. Hallelujah. If God can use a stupid guy like me, how much more He can use you? Amen? Just try it. You never know what great things God can do through your life. Amen? Started off orphanages. When I saw the needs around me, I responded. And when the children, the little boys were sold for 50 cents, God said to me, go and find them a home. So that was actually the beginning of my orphanage ministry. And because I never believed in doing anything else except preaching the gospel. I thought that is my call. Preach the gospel, get the people saved, healed, get them out of hell, on to heaven, I'm done. So when people used to say, why don't you start orphanage? Not my call. Find somebody else to do it. You know, how about these poor women? You take care of them. That's what I used to do until that day when I saw these little boys sold to for 50 cents, and there they are working in the carpet factories for 16 hours a day from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. And I said, God, this is not right. This is not right. And God said, well, why don't you take care of them? So I said, I'll do it. So that was the beginning. I went and just got those children, not them, but went back, told the parents, don't sell your kids anymore, I'll take them. So I took 29 boys, took them to my little church, and that's my first orphanage. Amen? I was in another town preaching, and I was coming after dinner, it was pretty late, and there I was, I found these little girls, 11-year-old girls, just sitting squashed in the corner of a shop that was shut and thrown out of their homes, living on the streets, repeatedly raped by the men. Don't have a place to go. And the Lord said, take them out, take them home. So I took them to the church that was there. And that became my girls' orphanage. Amen? And today we have got 17 orphanages. I'm in the plan of starting 2 more orphanages in the next 12 months. And we got 65 sewing schools for destitute women. You know, when if you are a wife, if you become a Christian, your husband will kick you out in India. So where do you go? So we take care of them. We look after them. And we provide for them. And the Lord spoke to me, teach them a trade when they're here. So I started a sewing school. Teach them to sew. And when they finished their learning, I bought them a sewing machine as a gift, better than giving them a piece of paper as a certificate. So I helped them. And we started our kept on starting more and more sewing schools wherever the need was. And all these guys, the husbands, angry with the pastors, running around with knives in their hands, wanting to kill everybody. But we kept on praying. We kept on praying for them. The good news is, we did not even lose one husband. We prayed every one of them into the kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. And the work continues to grow, and God has been so good to us. And my wife actually wanted to come with me. And we're all set to come, and everything was working out. And she was looking for a passport, and she lost her passport. Praise the Lord. Did I say that? Did I say that? She slipped out of my mouth. No, I didn't mean it, no. She was pretty sad. I said, well, there's another year coming. Let's get a new passport. So most probably she'll be with me here next year. She takes care of our prayer ministry. If anybody wants to know the secret of the growth of our ministry, it's just my wife's prayer. Right? Definitely is not my preaching, for sure. You know? And she runs 800 prayer groups in our organization. Amen? So when I say we pray for you, we want you to know it's not just a little bitsy prayer somewhere. At any given day, there are 5,000 women praying for the Lord to bless you. And that's all I can give you back for all the support, the finance, and the prayers you give. All we can give back is our prayers. And lots of them. We've got plenty of prayers to have. So you can have as much as you want, and still they'll be left over. Amen? And we pray for you, and we stand in the gap for God's blessing upon you. And this church has been a great blessing. You're given over the years, you know, generously, sacrificially, and God will bless you. And I wanted to do that one more time today, as you do every time. You know, we had a big earthquake in Nepal. How many of you know that? Thousands of people were killed. I've got 140 churches, 2 orphanages, and 5 sewing schools there. But the good news is we didn't lose any life. God protected all our people. Amen? But some of their buildings were all destroyed and houses devastated, roofs thrown away. So we are trying to help them rebuild their, you know, their needs, their life, their churches there. So, you know, some of the money you gave will be used for that purpose. Amen? And I was just sharing with the morning meeting, we are having several troubles in India ever since a Hindu government has come to power last 1 year ago. And the Prime Minister is pretty well openly declared anti-Christian. And after he has taken over, there's so much of trouble, so much of persecution in India. Even in Delhi, 6 churches were destroyed and burned down. Never happened in the history. It was just under his nose. He lives across the street. And this was happening just in the capital city. And outside, hundreds of churches were destroyed. Pastors beaten up and some of them killed. One of the brutal killings that happened, we could not even believe that human being would ever do this. A pastor and his wife were kidnapped, taken to the jungle. And there they demanded they should fall before the idol and worship the idol and deny Christ, which they said no. And in front of the wife, they took a knife and cut the head of the pastor. The head was severed away from the body. And the wife was screaming and passing out. And they were not satisfied with that. They cut open the ribcage and they pulled the heart out literally and they squeezed the blood on the Bible. And they said, this is what we will do to every Christian in this country. Amen? Well, that's challenging. That is, you know, there's so much of fear, so much of apprehension in the heart of the pastors and people in India. You know, every time when I come here, I challenge people in this country. I ask the people to support a pastor and family. I ask $60 to support a pastor and family in India. $2 a day. And sometimes you wonder, you know, who is this pastor? And I just want you to know that these men that I ask you to support are men like these men, this man who gave his life, the most brutal killing that you and I have ever known for the sake of the gospel. And there are many, hundreds, people who need help. You know, even the basic needs are not there. And we are trying to support these men and their families. They don't starve. Their children don't starve continuously. So you can be one of those families who can support the pastor and family in India. You can support an orphan with $30 a month, $1 a day. What do you buy in this country with $1? What do you buy with $2 here? But that money will make such a big difference in the life of so many people, so many pastors in India. You know, I mean, as I'm standing here, this is my last meeting. I'll be leaving for India tomorrow. There are 320 pastors are praying. And they're not asking for a car, they're asking for a bicycle. It costs about $100 to buy a bicycle. And they walk around the villages because every pastor is expected to go to 10 villages around and reach the people. That is what I expect them to do. So they have to walk 15, 20 miles every day. Otherwise, if they've got a bicycle, they can move faster. So, you know, help us to buy some bicycles for those people. I'm not asking you to give me the moon, but do them the least so that these people can move on and do the work of God. Amen? There are so many needs. I got some brochures here. If anybody wants to know anything about the ministry, you can just come and get it. Just a few lying here on the chair. Take it and pray and do whatever you can. And God's blessing will be upon us. We do have trouble, but that's on one side. But on the other side, God is doing marvelous things. Amen? There's a revival is going on. As I shared with you 2 years ago, last year, a church in a village of 400 people, just 40 people 2 years ago, revival broke out, healing, deliverance, raising the dead, things started happening. And today, that church has grown from 40 to 10,000 people. Amen? And it is happening in the worst place that you could ever think of. the worst persecution that ever taken place in that country, where God has chosen to save those guys and bring them into the kingdom. It's almost like God saying, it's payback time. Amen? Hallelujah. You kill my people, I'll get you into the kingdom. I'll bring you to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And great and marvelous things are happening. And, you know, I turned 62 last December. And my wife and my children were having their annual preaching to me. You know, trying to tell me it's time for me to not to quit. They know that I'm on. It's time for me to slow down. They're trying to tell me you're not young anymore. And so you have to start to think about yourself. So one of the things is, you know, they say don't travel too much, don't be awake too late at night, and all these things. But I said, unfortunately, before your preaching started, I given some of my commitments which I have to fulfill. So after it's done, I'll try to do what you're trying to tell me. So I started up my preaching engagement that started from the 3rd of January this year. And I kept on traveling all over the place, you know, miles, 600 miles, 300 miles. And I kept on traveling every day, preaching every night. And I thought, let me find out how much distance I've traveled. So I counted from the 3rd of January to the 1st of February, about 28 days, that I was shocked to find that I have traveled 16,000 miles in India. And suddenly God spoke to me. Age is only a number. No, he didn't say that. I thought like that. But I have to say something like that with a strong voice for my wife to accept what I'm trying to say. Otherwise, she won't believe me. Amen? And during that trip, what amazing things happened. Maybe the highlight of my whole life. And that was, you know, as I said, I'm preaching every night, different places. 500, 800,000 people, that's my crusade, right in these village areas. So, in all the meetings, I give an altar call and get people saved. Then I pray for the sick people, mass prayer, and seeing people healed. And then finally, at the end of the service, I'll be laying hands and praying for the people because they believe that this little touch has got some special anointing. I don't know what they think, but that's the way it is. So we're praying for these people. I'm praying. And I'm coming through these people, and I come to the middle of the platform. There was a young couple standing with a bunch of men, about 40, 50 men as one group. And this woman gave me a little package, kind of a little cloth bundle. It's winter time for us, January. So when I took it in my hand, I realized it was not a package. It was a little baby, 20 days old. And I'm trying to, you know, you're not used to holding a baby 20 days old. So I'm trying to hold this, and she won't take it back. So I'm just holding this. I said, what's wrong with this baby? So she told me that the baby is almost dead. I said, well, what am I supposed to hold a baby that is almost dead? He said, we heard of the meeting. We brought the child here for prayer. So what is the problem? They said, well, the baby was born with most of the vital organs were not working. So baby cannot see, baby cannot hear, baby has never cried, so only breathing a little bit. So there she was. And I'm holding this baby, and I remembered, you know, just by the way, I became a grandfather last year. And my second daughter gave birth to a nice little boy by name Daniel. So when he was born, obviously I was not there as usual, you know. I got there about 24 days later. So my daughter gave me this little baby. You know, 24 days old. I held it for about 2 seconds. I said, you should take him back, you know. I gave him to her. And now the thought came to me. My little grandson, he's healthy. Nothing wrong with him. And it was the same age. I'm holding a baby here. He's dead or dying. And I said, God, this is not right. And I started crying. And I started praying for the baby. I said, Lord, touch this child. And this child should not die. I don't care what the problem is. Let every organ start working again. Lord, I want the child to receive life. I curse the death. And I declare life for this child. I declare health to come back. And all this prayer I prayed. And I gave the child back to the mother. And I said, you know, I want you to get back to me tomorrow and call the pastor and tell him what happened to this baby. I don't care whether it is good or bad. I want to know. You please inform me tomorrow. So she said yes. And then the whole mob, all these guys, all of them left. So the next day, about noon, I was staying in a little hotel. And your hotel was better, okay? Man, I take these people, you know. I make them, we train them real properly and send them back as better pastor for you. You know, and hotels that we stay and the food that we eat, man, you really need a special anointing for that. So I'm waiting at about 12 o'clock noon, then my pastor comes and knocks at the door, and I open the door and he's jumping up and down saying, Pastor, I just got the message that the child is healed, the child is healed, the child is healed. And I said, well, wait a minute. How do you know the child is healed? Who told you? How did they know? So they said, well, this is what happened. The early morning, the child cried for the first time. And the mother gave some milk, and the child drank some milk. And the child opened the eyes. And the child started moving his arms. And they took the child to the doctors. And the doctor said, this is not right. The child should be dead. What are you doing with the child? And the child was looking at the doctor. Right? And so they took the child and put through the test. And the test came out saying, all the organs are working normal for the child. Amazing. I've seen thousands of healings, blind eyes open, lame walk. But I think this will be the highlight of my whole life. Amen. And I was so excited. I went to another town. I was there. 2 weeks later, about a gentleman came. And he told me, the child is so perfectly well, you will not even believe this was the same child that had the problem. I said, praise the Lord, it's amazing. But Pastor, I wanted to know, there's something more to this story. I said, that's enough for me. I don't want to hear more story. And he said, no, you got to hear it. Okay, if you insist, tell me. So he said, you know those men who came with them? Yeah, about 50 of them. What about them? He said, they were not Christians. They were the Hindu militants. They came because they said, if this child is not healed by that guy tonight, we're going to kill that guy. So I said, thank goodness you didn't tell me that on that day. My prayer will not be that effective, will it? Amen? So, and they said, when you said, you inform me tomorrow and I'll be here, they said, okay, we'll go back. We'll check it out tomorrow morning. If the child is not going to be healed, we're going to go and get him. We know where to find him. So that's why they went. But of course, the child was healed. When they saw the child healed, all those men gave their hearts to the Lord and became Christians. And they went around the whole village and they said to them, no more gods in this village. There's only one living God, that's Jesus. And everybody, you better just worship only Jesus, nobody else. Amen? That's an amazing story. I love it. I love those guys getting saved, don't you think? Guy wanted to come and kill me, but I can be a boss. I can be a big leader to him now, you know. Well, continue to pray for us and stand with us and God will bless you. Amen? A little bit of preaching, is that okay? All right. Nobody's saying okay. Is it okay? Is it all right? You better say yes anyway. Now, even if you don't, I'm going to preach anyway. So better let us be on in one side. Amen? All right. Let me read a couple of verses from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. If you've heard me preaching from this chapter. Don't worry, I preach about 15 messages from this chapter, okay? So this is something new. So don't say, oh, I heard this before. No, you haven't heard it. So just wait for this, okay? So let me read a couple of verses for you so that it looks like preaching. Because people insist that you should read a Bible verse. If you don't read a verse from the Bible, it's not a preaching, right? So I don't want you to feel like that. So let's read a couple of verses. for your sake. Mark chapter 5, verse 34, and Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And verse 41, "And then he took the child by the hand, and he said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.'" Amen. Mark chapter 5 has got three miracles that Jesus did. Jesus goes into the land of the Gadarenes, and there a man who was possessed by legion, which is 6,000 demons. He met with him from the tombs. He was living in tombs, cutting his body with stones. He came and Jesus commanded the demons to leave. And the demons left him and went into 2,000 pigs. And the pigs jumped into the water, drowned themselves. And all the guys from the village came and met with Jesus. You would imagine that the people of the village should beg Jesus to stay back to heal and deliver many, many people like this man. But sadly, they demanded him to leave their country. So Jesus gets onto the boat and he came to the other side. And that's where our story begins. There is a man by name Jairus who was the ruler of a synagogue. And he had only one daughter. And she was at the point of death. She got some illness. It became worse. They tried everything, treated everywhere, went to every doctor's. Nothing worked. She got sicker and sicker. And now she's at the point of death. She heard from somebody that there is only one hope for you. That is a man by name Jesus. And he's the only one who can heal your daughter. A miracle worker. A healer. Who has healed every kind of sickness and disease. And if you will go and meet with him. And if you will come with you. And he can heal your daughter from your sickness. From her sickness. So he went in search of him. And finally he found him as he was getting out of the boat. He fell at his feet and begged him to come and heal his daughter. And Jesus consented to go with him. And he was so happy. So they started their journey from there towards the house. The only problem with Jesus was he's never alone. He could never be alone. There was always a multitude surrounding around him. All different kind of people. A bunch of people have been already healed by him. A large group of people who wanted to be healed, sick in their bodies. And a great number of people who had the free lunch on the mountain. You remember the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes? Thereafter, another free lunch. They think this is a good deal. We don't need to work. Go after this guy. We can keep on eating. Right? And now the other group is a bunch of Pharisees trying to find fault with him for every word that he speaks. And then, of course, his disciples and those women who loved him. So all this makes a great multitude. And so the journey is pretty slow. Jairus would like to get him to the house as quick as possible, but it was not happening. And as they were moving along, another story comes and gets in. And this is a story of a woman who was having an issue of blood for 12 long years. And she had the same story. Went to every doctor, spent all their money, did all the treatment, it did not get better. It got worse, and she's also at the point of death. And she also heard the same news that there is a man by name Jesus. Do you like that name? What an amazing name. What an amazing person. Amen? And we don't need to go look for him because he's there with us. All we need is to call out to him, "Hey, I need you." And they say, "He's the only hope." Isn't amazing? Jesus is the only hope for every hopeless person in this world. And he said, only if you could meet with him, he can heal you. So she started looking for him and she found him in the middle of a multitude somewhere. And there she was, frail and so sick in her body. An issue of blood for 12 long years. But she needed to meet with him. She needed to touch him because she has got no place to go. And she pressed on, and she pressed on, and she pressed on, and finally she came close to him, and she touched the hem of his garment, and the power came out of him, and she was healed immediately. Amen? Jesus turns around, and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "You said that stupid thing once, never say it again." How dare you are asking a stupid question like this when there are so many people touching you? Jesus said, I'm looking for that woman who touched me with a touch of faith. And I want to see her face. And he talked to her and he fell at his feet. And he said to her, hey daughter, be of good cheer. You know, go home. Be healed of your affliction. So she was healed. And the good news is Jairus was standing next to Jesus. And he was watching this healing taking place. He has only heard about the healing power of Jesus Christ, but he has never seen it. But now before his eyes, this man did not even touch her, but she only touched the hem of his garment. And yes, she was healed of a sickness that nobody else could ever heal. And she said, I got the right man. Now all I need to do, his faith started rising up. His hope started getting stronger. And he said, my house is not too far. I need to get him there. My child will also be healed, just like this woman. And they pressed on. And they came and they got close to the house. And somebody came and whispered in his ears. The only message that he never wanted to hear, that was the woman, the person said, your child is dead. It's too late. There's no need to trouble your master anymore. His heart was broken. Fear came into his life. He never wanted to hear his only daughter is dead. And they're saying, it is too late. And I can imagine Jesus standing next to him, listening to this thing. And Jesus puts his arms around him and trying to tell him, hey, don't be afraid, don't listen to them. You know, whatever they have got to say is only bring fear in your heart. It won't help you in any way. You know, the world will only bring fear and doubt in our life. They've got no solution for us. The world will say, it's too late for you. Nobody can help you. Your problem is too big for you. Your sickness cannot be healed. But I want you to know, there is one Jesus standing next to you. And he's saying to you that I'm never too late, but I'm always on time. And I'm standing next to you. And I'll walk with you. And we are going to deal this matter together. Amen? You know the saddest thing is? He met with Jesus at the boat. And they started walking together from there. But the sad thing is, he was walking by the side of Jesus, but he was not walking with Jesus. He was still lost in his own worries. He was still lost in his own problems. He did not trust in the man who was walking next to him. And he was walking, but not walking. But we are like this. You know, we say that we know Jesus. We say that we're all doing okay. And we say that we'll be fine, but we are walking on our own. But Jesus is saying to him, you walked all alone all this time, but now we are going to walk together. Amen? Walking alone is not an answer for us, not the solution. We have to learn to walk with Jesus. We are never alone. Jesus is always with us. Amen? As he was walking, everybody is crying, screaming, oh, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead, such a good girl. Oh, what a terrible thing that she's dead in an engage. So Jesus got sick of it. He turns around and she says, she's not dead, but she's sleeping. Amen? What does that mean? You didn't check it properly? The life is still there? No. She was well and good dead. And what is Jesus doing? Lying to them? No. What is Jesus trying to say? You know, in the English language, there are two words. One word is what you call the fact. The fact of the matter is, you know. The fact is always controlled by the five senses we have. You know, so the fact always talks in relation to our five senses. So she was dead. Factually, she's dead. But there's another word in English which is called the truth. Truth is not controlled by the five senses. It goes beyond the five senses. It is controlled only by faith. And faith releases the truth. And what is truth? Pilate said to Jesus. Jesus said, standing in front of you, I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is saying, she's sleeping. You know why? Because I'm about to wake her up. I'm about to raise her up. And I have got a plan for her. So they walk into the room with the father and mother. Peter, John, and James, and he held the girl who was dead, and he said to her, Talitha kumi, and the girl sat up. And he said, well, give her something to eat. And that's the end of the story. Amen? Are you happy with the story? All right, but I'm just about to preach. That's the introduction of my message. But I'm just about to share with you the message. Is that okay? I know it's not okay. You're looking at your time. And I know you wanted to go to eat. And of course, lunch is a very important thing. Right? But I closed my Bible. So that gives you kind of a false security. This guy will not be taking too long. Right? I was not looking at it much, but it helps you. Right? So what is my message for you? There are two stories I shared with you. A woman with an issue of blood. A little girl that was dead. And for both, Jesus was the only hope. And Jesus changed the lives of these two people. Amen? And I want to share with you a couple of things that how many of you have read this story? Please raise your hands. Well, that's about six of you. Do you read Bible sometime? That's a good thing to know. Amen? So I want to just brush up your memory a little bit. How many of you know the child that was dead, the daughter that was dead, she was 12 years old. Have you ever read that or you remember now? And also, do you realize that the woman who was having an issue of blood was 12 years? How did that happen? Is that a kind of a strange coincidence? Or is there a message for us? And both, one dead and one sick, dying. And I want to look at you, at these two people, as two different generations. I want to look at this woman with an issue of blood as an older generation. Who is an older generation? Christian for 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, older generation, like me. But there is a younger generation, that's what I see, that's dead on the bed. Their little daughter, 12 years old. And I want to take you back 12 years. Let's go back 12 years. What do you see? Before 12 years, I see this woman healthy, strong, beautiful, a good wife, a great mother, a friend to many people, enjoying her life. And here on this side, a beautiful baby was born. That was 12 years ago. And then what happens? Things start to go wrong. The woman had an issue of blood. She hoped it'll stop. It didn't stop. It kept on going, getting worse and worse, 12 long years. And here you see a child got sick and sick and sicker. And here the child has come to a place and is dead. Now the question is, who is going to help these two generations? Both the generations are sick. And you say, you may look at me and say, no, I'm not sick. Well, we are sometimes. You know, you may be a Christian for years, but how many of us are struggling with lots of things in our life? How many of them literally having sickness in our body? How many of us are having emotional problems? How many of us are having relationship problems? How many of us are having financial problems? Just like this woman, struggling. Lost what we used to have in our life. Lost the excitement of our walking with God. Lost the joy of salvation. That the excitement is not there anymore. It's getting empty these days. You know, going to church has become a big hassle these days. Something has gone wrong in my life. What? Just like this woman having this sickness. And now she's looking for an answer. And the good news, Jesus is the answer. Amen? How do you get to Jesus? You have to press on. Amen? Let me tell you one more thing. This woman is sick. She is coming to meet with Jesus. But Jesus is not going to meet with her. I want the older generation to listen to me. Well, you may not like me saying this, but that's the truth. Jesus Christ is not going after the woman, but she is going after the little girl. You listening to me? Why? Jesus Christ is there for both of us. He's not like some churches where they say older people are no good anymore. We want only young people in this church. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, I care for both the generations. I want to meet the needs of both the generations. But there's a difference in doing this. He's telling the older generations, he says, you are having troubles, you are having challenges, and you need my help to do that. What I want you to do is, you come after me. You press on towards me. And if you're going to sit in the place and if you expect me to come, you'll be waiting for a long time because I'm not coming. Amen? Why? He's telling the older generation, you know how to come after me. You know how to search after me. You know how to look for me. You know how to get to me. I don't need to pamper you all the time. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to press on. But I'm waiting for you. All you need is to touch me. And your answer, your healing, your deliverance is there. But I'm in the process of raising up another generation. What about the generation? The world is saying, she's dead. The parents are saying, they are no good. The world is saying, this generation is good for nothing. They're all saying, young people are no good anymore. They're in sin. They're in all kinds of perversion. All these things, they're no good. But Jesus is saying, that's what you are saying. You are saying that the child is dead. But I'm saying, no. She's not dead, but she's sleeping. Amen? She's sleeping. She's sleeping. And he says, I'm focused on the child. And I'm not leaving you behind. All you know what to do. Keep on pressing. You come and touch me. The hardest thing is to press on. But the answer is only one touch. Amen? It doesn't take long for Jesus to set us free. He can give everything back with one touch. But he says, I'm in the process of raising up another generation. Because I have a plan for the younger generation, which has been given up by the world. But I have not given up on them. Because I have got a plan. I've got a purpose. And I'm going to raise them up. Because I'm going to use them for my glory. Because these last days, I'm going to put my anointing upon them. I'm going to give my gifts upon their life. And they're going to do exploits for me. And they're going to do great things for me. They're going to bring the biggest revival that this world has ever known. Before the curtain will come down. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me ask you quickly, how many of you here, young people, 25 years old and under, would you please stand up for me for a minute? If you're 25 years old and under, amen? I know that others are all got young in heart, but don't stand up, please. You and your young heart, keep it down on the chair. And I'm talking to you. Friends, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear, this is a message for you today. Jesus Christ is after you. Jesus Christ trusts in you. Jesus Christ says, you are good for me. And the people say you're not good, don't listen to them. You know, if the people giving up on you, don't care. Because Jesus says, I will never give up on you. I'm pressing on, I'm coming to you. When the woman is pressing on towards me, I'm pressing towards you. Because I'm in the process of raising you up from the place where you are. Because I have got a plan. I want you to hear this. Everyone who is standing today, God has got a plan. God has got a plan for you. And God says, you are going to be the miracle worker. You're going to be the one who's going to bring the greatest revival. You're going to be the one like the little Samuels, like the little Davids. It's Solomon's word. I'm going to put my anointing, my blessing, my wisdom upon you. And this world is going to be amazed because you are going to do great things for me. And that's the plan. That's the plan and purpose of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what about the oldies? Simple. Press on. Amen. Would you all of you stand with me, please? Let's pray. Deliverance, healing, freedom is for every one of us. And the word of the Lord is coming to the matured and older Christian. Are you struggling with any of this area? You can be free today. You can walk out of the door, completely set free, healed in your body. You know, the emotional shackles broken up. And relationship put together. The excitement coming back to you. God wants to do that for you. All you need to do is, Lord, I'm ready to press on. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to sit around and do nothing. Because I want it so badly, what I have lost in my life. I want that excitement in my life. Would you be willing to press on? Would you be willing to press on? The older generation, put your hands up if you do. Say, Lord, I'm ready to press on. And to the younger ones, I'm saying, come on, talitha kumi. Jesus is saying, rise up. Would you say to yourself, I'm ready to rise up, Lord. I'm ready to rise up. I'm ready to reach out, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. Take my life and use me for your glory. Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray for the matured older generation. Whatever may be the needs in their life, Lord. If they're sick in their bodies, heal them. Lord, set them free, O God. Lord, emotional shackles will be broken. God's power will be manifested. And I pray for the young generation here, Lord. Let a mighty sweeping anointing take place right now. As they are standing with their hands lifted up towards you, Lord. May the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon them in a wonderful way. Take them, Lord. Let there be a new beginning of something far greater that God has got for them. I bless everyone. I bless this church, oh God. Make this church to grow leaps and bounds. Let it be a lighthouse to the community. Anoint my dear friend, Pastor Caleb and Rachel, Lord. Bless them and use them for your glory. We love you, Lord, with all our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.